Hello and welcome to Como Sestas. It is Sunday, 1:16 a.m. I'm here with Rob. I started the podcast without telling him because I just wanted to get it. I have a strict 2 a.m. time limit on this thing.
I'm awake.
Yeah. It is Sunday, so this is our last full day here as we talk to you. And we're also going to get like almost no sleep and then have another day where we get almost no sleep.
We can get lots of sleep. What do you, if we go to bed, if 2 o'clock is your bedtime, and I specify you.
Yeah.
You'll be up by what, like 8:39? That's healthy 6 hours.
6 hours are not healthy. We are here after going to we saw two different shows. We went to another show one off before the show actually started, because that was really bust. Today.
We never even talked about Arena Mexico yesterday.
Oh yeah, we went to Arena Mexico yesterday, but the clock is already running 43 minutes left, so we're gonna have to run through this.
Show was less than 2 hours. I'm sure we can breeze through.
What do you want to say about yesterday's Arena Mexico show?
Arena Mexico was awesome. The card didn't look good on paper, but as usual, we had a great time when we showed up. We got there. We wanted to get there. Well, I wanted to get there specifically for the first match and then leave because I didn't care about number two and number three.
And how'd that go?
Not very well. We ended up joining just as they were doing some cool shit in the third fall of the opener, and then we saw the repeats because we had to go find our seats. But I watched the opener on the internet later that night, and it was fucking awesome. They killed it. I saw Alfredo said it was okay. It was not okay. It was great. Usually every week it's okay to below average.
We were talking with someone who with CML who says that Tepelalero and Fierro are two of the best rookies that he's seen. Mm-hmm. And Tepelalero, from what we could see from that match, looked pretty good.
Yeah, we were talking with somebody from CMLL before the show who you found out who it was many hours later.
Yes.
When I said, oh, this guy said that those guys are good. And you said, when were we talking with that guy? Yeah. But the second match was the type of match where you watch it at home and you're like, this sucks. And I mean, it wasn't great or anything, but live it was fun. I thought they did better than they normally do. Pegaso looked great. Nitro and Raziel were trying. Signal was the only weak link. I guess at Oro Jr. Oro Jr.'s not really that good anymore. Technicos won. Oro Moonsault Body Block. Do you have anything to add?
No. I was surprised that they put that Oro was the focus of a match, considering the other two technicals are usually bigger deals, but it doesn't matter at all.
Maybe because his physique's improving. They're ready to push him.
Well, the swings of physique is something, too. And you can see some of the other things that are coming as a result of his new physique, but that's a different story. The women's match was Amapola, Metallica, Reina Isis versus Jorgita, Lady Morville, and Marcella. They tried real hard. They did a dive train at the end, which surprised you, I know. It was fine for what it was. I think it was great, but I think it was nobody was terrible in it, and that's usually a plus when you consider a women's match.
Yeah, I mean, literally, the only this is where we got separated. I went to sit somewhere else.
We got separated, as in you left.
I left. I went to go talk to some people. I had no interest in this match in the first place. It just so happens that I went to go talk to some people during it. I saw the dive train, though. That was fine. I mean, they might as well do something, because they don't do much else inside the ring. And that's basically all I have to say about it. I mean,
Mirabella and Jorgita were wearing matching outfits, so they were a tag team for about, and then they'll never be a tag team again.
This is going to go like the Magnus, Robin, and whoever else the third one was, Trio?
Flyer.
Ah, there you go.
The fourth match was the bizarre Technico versus Techno Diabolero versus Stucca lightning match. Stucca kind of worked as Rudo. He argued with Tirantes, because everyone argues with Tirantes. Diabolero has, it's completely CML for him to have a brand new physique after his big match. And now he's just a guy in the card who doesn't do anything. But he's obviously training for the bodybuilding contest. And he may have a chance of winning. I don't know. I don't really care. This was really a spotlight match for him. And he won. And he's still Nibble or Roja, so it doesn't really matter.
I thought this was probably the worst match of the night. Pretty bad. Stuka just clowning around with Tirantes. Nibble Roja did a couple dives, but he screwed up a couple of simple things in between the dives. So I wasn't overly impressed with him. And this was just a waste of time for me.
Yeah. The fifth match was, it turned out to be Sam Adonis, Terrible, and Puma replacing Shocker versus Cavernario, Mr. Niebla, and Negro Casas. The 7,000 negro crosses the last few weeks they did on that I've seen on the stream. It doesn't seem like it's been getting over as much as the Blue Panther one was, but this time it seemed like it was working really well, and that people were really into negro crosses and into booing Sam. And Sam did a lot more comedic pratfalls in this match than I think he's been doing in recent times.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised that they brawled into the crowd at one point, because usually that's very un-CMLL-like. So hopefully Niebla doesn't care, but hopefully Puma doesn't get in any trouble for doing that. Yeah. I thought having Puma in the match just freshened things up a bit, because, I mean, we've seen these other combos so many times. It was nice to see Puma working with Cavernario. Mm-hmm. Those are the type of guys that should be headlining, but there's no point ranting about that at this point. I thought the crowd popped big for Zacharias' 619. Super heated match. Sam gave the crowd the finger. I don't understand why La Parca gets in trouble for that, but Sam doesn't. Yes, I'm throwing you under the bus, Sam, if you're listening. And the finish was kind of weird. I thought they took a while. They took like over a minute to set up that spot where he hit him with the flag. I thought they could have got to that just a little faster, because the crowd didn't react to it. But also they didn't react because the way that the DQ was called, if you're a foreign fan and there were a lot of foreign fans there, you probably didn't understand what just happened. But they didn't do challenges. That's what surprised me. I thought for sure we'd be getting to the point of challenges. And if we haven't yet, I'm assuming if it's happening, it's going to be December.
Yeah, it's going to be Christmas Day or New Year's. We've got six more weeks at least of this. Mm-hmm. And so they're not doing it every week. Like, they're not doing it next week. That's fine, because the way they're doing it is basically out. Puma was not thrilled to be facing his TO, Negro Casas, at times in the match. So that was an interesting subplot that probably won't go anywhere.
It was humorous, because before the show, when we were talking in the restaurant with a certain person from CMLL, he was noting to us that they're not allowed to do father versus son or any sort of familiar matches, like even Mystico versus Dragon Lee or Dragon Lee versus Rush.
Yeah.
Although they did meet in that tornado, he pointed out.
Yeah. Shocker missed that match, but Shocker is back tonight. He wrestled his normal match
at
Coliseo, so that means that it just... That's all the limit of what CML is going to punish him for this misstep.
And apparently there's not much to punish. It was just an overblown story, and you probably never hear about it again.
Or they just paid everyone off and it just went away.
You could put it like that too, I guess.
The main event was Marco Misco Valiente versus Cortero Sanson and Altomo Guerrero. This was Cortero and Sanson's first main event and the first chance to do what you kind of see in the B-Show main event, where they went through the basic normal spots. The Technicos got it early. The Ruse took over, and the Technicos got the big comeback at the end. It was a fine match. It's a match that the crowd liked, but there was nothing really. This is one of the 100 different main events that CML do that doesn't really felt like it mean anything moments after it happened.
Yeah, it looked like they were trying to hit their 10:30 local time cue. They missed it by 3 minutes. It went to 10:33. Mm-hmm. But just a generic match. I mean, Marco did his stuff. The crowd loved it. When I say generic, I don't mean in like a shitty way. Mystico actually got cheered. I didn't really hear any boos for him for some reason.
Yeah, it was a crowd that was fine with Mystico.
And Valiente did whatever Valiente does. He really seems like he's fallen off a cliff lately. It doesn't do much of anything. The Rudos were okay. I mean, Guerrero didn't hog the spotlight or anything, but it's not like Cuatrero or Sanson did anything, in my opinion, to stand out, considering it was their first main event. They were fine, but they were basically doing anything that Gran Guerrero or Euphoria would have done if they were in their place. Like, I was expecting at least something different with Mystico to do, or Valiente to do something with them, and just wasn't happening. But overall, a fun show, fun time. It went super quick. We hung around afterwards, met a couple people. I met the CML booking staff. That was not a joke. I legitimately did. I have the picture to prove it. It'll come at some point. And then we went out afterwards to eat. Nice dinner. I don't remember the name of the place, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I had a Volcan with... Oh, I can't remember what it was with now, but whatever Volcan is, I had it. It was really good. We had a conversation, talking about CMLL, all the stuff we complain about on Twitter, but in person to people who actually understand our complaints. And just a perfectly fun evening. I was dreading that show. I don't know about Cubs. Just when I saw it on paper, I was hoping something else would pop up that we could go to. But honestly, I mean, if you come to Mexico, Arena Mexico on Friday, that's the place to be. You probably have more fun before the show, hanging out outside, buying all the random shit that's there. They have so much stuff, you really have to limit yourself. when you come the first time, you're going to want to spend money on everything. It's crazy out there. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It's tradition. It's super fun time.
And it's a better show in person than it is on the on the internet, as you would expect.
Really doesn't catch the audio. Like that. When I watched online, the first match, we were there for the finish, and the finish got a huge pop live. But on the, you can't really hear it much when they're doing the, when they have the announcers over the how the crowd's reacting, audio levels. And today, would you like me to go?
Yeah, I have food in my mouth.
Okay, so today started off with, oh man, it was such a long day, I can't even remember. I think the first thing we did today was we went to, I honestly can't remember. What did we do first thing today? We did the Circo Volador was second.
We went to the was market. The,
no, there was something before the market.
We, oh, we went to Television, right. Rush, La Mascara, Penta, and Daga were going to do autographs. We thought they were going to do it one. But from the way they were setting everything up, they were definitely expecting people not to show up till 2:30.
Mexico style.
So, we gave up around then, and we went to... And it sounded like it was even later for Penta, at least, to show up. And we never saw anyone show up. We just kind of decided we need to move on.
We did buy a couple cool things there, me and Alan. They were... They have nice shirts there, and you can get them there cheaper, since it's their store, and that's where they have the all the inventory.
They have the nicer kind of shirts that you see around the ring in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. I bought a Pentagon, the normal t-shirt that exists. I bought the sweatshirt version because where I am, it's going to get cold, or it already is cold, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it was a nice setup, I thought, right?
Yeah. It's small, it's a little tucked away, but it's a nice, modern-looking shop.
And from what I saw, I just quickly scanned over pictures and video from the signing. It was really, really nicely done. A lot of fans turned out. So, yeah, good. We didn't expect it. We were only there, really, because a friend was doing interviews with the wrestlers. And he ended up staying. We took off, and we went to our first show of the day, which was at La Ciudadela.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I butchered that, but it's like 4 blocks away from Arena Mexico.
Mm.
It's a market where, as it was explained to us, where all the tourists go to buy stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of a flea market with a roof over the top. They were having their 52nd anniversary celebration.
Oh, wow, I wrote 10th anniversary. 52nd, okay, that makes more sense.
So they had all sorts of different kinds of celebrations, and part of celebrations was having 3 Lucha Libre matches from CMLL. We saw 2 of the matches and took off while the third one was going on. What was the opener?
The opener was Fireman and Sonic against Icaro and Machiavellico.
Yeah, and this is kind of... this
come in.
Was kind of like the, it's like kind of like the NXT Largo shows where you see the people who don't even make it on TV, but are training in CML school someplace. Fireman is in there, Icaro. Sometimes you see those guys pop up on IWRG shows just to get work, but they're trying to get in CML. So Machiavellico is a guy we see once every 3 months. Mm-hmm. Sonic, this guy who's shown up recently and worked another match that night. In the Arena Coliseo.
Yeah, he worked Flyer.
Sonic and... I think Sonic was the best looking of the 4 guys.
Yeah, I thought Sonic and... I thought Icaro was okay.
Fireman did some cool flips, but he was kind of like... In between that, he wasn't fleshed out. He knew how to do his first fall offense, but past that, he was kind of still looking for things. And they also did really simple matches in some ways to play to a casual crowd.
Yeah, it's a very good way for people to learn. This is how you should learn. Like, they should be working in front of audiences who are reacting like this. They had the standard Técnico Rudo. They did all the spots you would expect on a show, like a fair show, with a ton of kids reacting a certain way. Sonic had a cool finish where he did a
head scissors into a Rey Nerera.
Right, a satellite into like the Rey Nerera special. I actually have it on my Instagram if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
Good. I thought it was a perfectly fine, acceptable match. We should also note that the referee for every match was Edgar from CMLL, and the ring announcer was Ivan. Like, basically, they sent 3 of their guys in the main event: Fuego, Sagrado, who's replacing Mephisto, and Virus.
Yeah,
and the rest was just guys from the school getting work.
Mm.
It's actually, I mean, you could. This is the kind of stuff that WWE should be doing with their talent, just sending them away to work in front of like live crowds, working a different style, but not the time or place to go into that. Just my opinion. Second match was Super Astro Jr.
Yeah.
And then two guys from CML school. Fierro, you've seen before. He's the star of anytime he appears on Tuesday shows.
Yeah.
And Lazar, I believe it's Laser or Lazar, one of the two.
Yeah, who's a tall guy who really didn't do all that much in the match.
But he has the size, so yeah. I wonder if, as he gets better, CML will be behind him. He actually reminded me a lot of Diamante, looking at him.
Diamante but did more springboards.
Yeah. They were facing Yago, who we all know is clearly the star of the CML rookie class. They had the Kozako Loco, who does like an exotico gimmick, and had his face half painted. And the last guy was very unimpressive guy, just like a jacked up dude, Star King.
Star King.
Yeah. Who Black Terry Jr. was not impressed by.
Mm-hmm. He had a bad feeling about him before the match, and it was confirmed by his performance in the match.
I mean, he wasn't like embarrassing level like Pieroth or anything like that, but he
struggled with the mat wrestling early on,
yeah.
And he there's really nothing he stood out with. Pierro was the best guy in the match, as we thought it was. And it was interesting because this ring was set just up on like pavement, but they were still doing dives all in all the matches that we saw,
which I was wrong about, because I thought for sure that they would just maybe have somebody do like the most simple dive in the world, but they were going out and they did a couple wild ones right in front of us, actually.
Yeah.
And they had to do it right in front of us because there were like things hanging from the ceiling coming down that would have blocked it on the other two sides.
Yeah. But they had like caution tape to keep people a little distance away from the ring, so they had room to land, but they didn't have anything safe to land on.
I'm surprised that people actually acknowledged the tape and didn't rush to the ring. Like tonight at the Crash show, we saw the complete opposite.
Yeah, well, the kids kept trying nudging the tape forward and sneaking it in front of it. But
they stayed behind it.
Yeah.
They just kept getting closer.
And the other situation is that on some sides of the ring, people were smart enough to grab chairs from the dance performance and put them right up front.
Yep.
So it was tough to get in front. So it worked out.
In this match, Fierro did some good stuff. Super Astro Jr. actually looked really good. And then we met his father afterwards, so maybe he was working extra hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did the corner tope just like his father.
Yeah.
A lot of cool, the in-ring dancing spots. Very good. And the finish was him doing his backwards tope from the top rope.
Yeah.
Obviously, we didn't say for the main event, but I'm assuming the technicals won every match. Because why would you fuck with the fans and just have the Rudos win?
Mm.
So everybody was happy. We stayed for the intros of the main event.
Mm.
Where we found out that Sagrado was in for Mephisto.
And Sawyer Munda was the technical, the Exacto team with Waygo.
And actually, in the crowd watching the match, did you see was Desmasiado?
I heard you mention him, but I never picked him out.
Another Exotico. So clearly, maybe he's studying the competition. Clearly, I mean, it's no secret, CML wants another Exotico to fill the role of Maximo, because that's a great gimmick for the tourists. And I wonder if they're just trying to figure out which one to pull the trigger on between these guys.
Or if you're weighing out and maybe after a year of Maximo being gone, something will be worked out.
Yep. So we left early because we wanted to get over, which we didn't even bother, but we shouldn't have even bothered, but we went to the Circo Volador, which is a theater.
Music.
Yeah. Earlier in the day, Alan alerted me that they had a metal band from Italy playing there, which is really strange for me.
They had Lucha Fan Fest 10 there. It was going to be accompanied by a AAA show. It was a different environment for a Lucha show, because usually in Mexico you don't see a ring in like on the theater stage with the seats coming out, but that's how they had to do it here, because that's how a music venue works. They had a few of the older guys and a few of the luchadores with the WWS groups selling merchandise in the fan fest area, but it's really something you could circle around in 5 minutes and see everything you need to see.
It was a very sad sight. All these luchadores, like Viano 3 could barely walk into the building when we saw him.
Yeah.
Super Porky was there and just looked awful. Like, not just his normal injury, just in general.
Mm.
He looks quite unhealthy. It's very sad to see.
Dos Caras was there.
Dos Caras was there, yep.
He seemed to be doing fine, because I think he was sick before or something.
Yeah, he was standing. I mean, most of the guys were sitting, I think. He was one of the few standing.
Kondo Amal showed up late, and
yep.
I think because he was still in Pedro Amal's shirts, and that seemed like one of the more popular. It was him and Dos Caras were the two guys getting the most attention. The women were just kind of, because they're all unknown women for this tiny group that has no promotional backing to it, so no one even knew who the people were, even though they had tables full of merchandise ready to go.
But it only takes a couple of weird fans to show up and make their day just by paying money, so... Mm-hmm. I really didn't like this thing initially. I mean, we had to pay to get in. We didn't get in for free or anything, mm-hmm. but we got the reduced rate since they knew we were only staying just to look around and then we were going to take off. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we didn't pay more because it was such a waste. They opened the doors late. We were standing out there forever. Mm-hmm. I think Cubs actually resigned himself to the fact that we just weren't going to go in. We were just going to leave for the crash.
Yeah. And if we had missed it and found out what was there, we wouldn't have been too rushed. I think the one disappointment from this trip is that we really haven't found too many old magazines like we have on other trips. Mm-hmm. There weren't any from Aruna, Mexico on Friday, and the only person who was really selling them was Dos Caras selling his own. Any magazine he happened to be in, they happened to be sitting around.
We had a friend on the inside, so we could see what it looked like before we even went in. He was taking pictures, mm-hmm. and it just looked really sad. It just... Black Terry Jr. compared it to the movie The Wrestler, where... Nobody wants to see the guys at the end of their career. Mm-hmm. And these guys go everywhere. I mean, that's why this Lucha Fan Fest isn't special anymore. If you want to know what Lucha Fan Fest used to be like, I mean, if you remember the situation where they planted drugs in Nozawa's picture that he was, mm-hmm. picture frame that was given to him,
yeah.
that occurred at one of the earlier Lucha Fan Fests, which took place in the Sala de... In the Plan Seccional, mm-hmm. which is a huge building, and now they're just doing it in the... You know, a small section in the theater.
Yeah.
So you can see that how low it's gone. And they combined it with the AAA show that looked completely awful on paper.
Yeah. It's the same guys who do this, same guys who show up to the Expo Lucha shows that happen all the time, too. Mm-hmm. So I think they probably do these too often. But then it's probably the only way some of these guys make any money, even the little money they make. So.
Right. So... We got out of there super quick. We made it to in good time to Arena Nalcapa. And Terry said it was going to take an hour, but it only took us like half an hour, 35 minutes or so.
Yeah.
We got there. We ate the famous quesadillas that former CMLL undercard wrestler Heck, his wife made for us. Which, if you go to Arena Nalcapa, do not miss out on those. Mm. They are fantastic. We picked up our tickets. We hung out outside because we missed the meet and greet.
Yeah.
And I guess they shut the doors after that. But if you went in for the meet and greet, you were allowed to stay in. But if you didn't go in for the meet and greet, you were locked outside. And you had to wait to be let in. Eventually, we were let in. We got our seats, front row, amazing. Thank you to Noriko for helping us out with that.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything to say about the pre-show or nothing, no?
Mm.
I mean, we didn't meet up with any of the wrestlers or anything. Well, I met one of the wrestlers, but nothing... for podcast material. We were just hanging out. And the show began, I would say, was it more than half an hour late or was it just half an hour?
About half, exactly half hour.
It was, yeah, the crowd was getting impatient a couple times. I don't know why they waited till maybe it was an 8:30 start and we just screwed it up. I don't know. I thought it was 8 p.m. start. So there was no intro or anything like that. They just right away got to the first match, which was Astro Lux. You're going to have to help me out. Oh, no, you help me out.
I'm probably not going to get this either.
Okay, I know because Torito Negro was on the Rudo side, Latigo was on the Rudo side, Tiago was supposed to be in the match, but Torito Negro was his replacement.
Pegasus.
He was on the Technico, so it's Astrolux, Pegasus, and, Black Dragon from IWRG, mm-hmm. against Latigo, Torito Negro, and unfortunately we're missing somebody here.
Latigo. On that, it was. Say that again.
It was Latigo, Torito Negro, and. I mean, it's somebody we've seen the entire time on the tour, so we're just blanking completely.
I want to say Poligro Negro, but.
No, he was in the 4-on-4.
Yeah.
Either way, this was the usual opener that you'd expect. This was a lot of cool shit. Astrolux looked amazing, did a couple of awesome spots, standing on Latigo's shoulder, doing a head scissors. Doing his flip Frankensteiner spot. They teased the triple dive. The Rudos had some cool offense going on. The finish was... There was a big dive near the end. I'm trying to remember who it was. Because I know Astrolux didn't do a dive.
No.
Oh, it was... it just clicked in my head. Atomic Star was the other
one. Yes.
Because it was another local guy. Those are both IWRG guys. Mm. Yeah, but this was a good match. The crowd threw money afterwards. They deserved it. They had a great effort. everybody just, I'm pretty sure the technicals went over. It was Astrolux pinning with the, used the 450 splash.
Right.
On, I believe it was Atomic Star. I'm not really sure. Torito Negro did his awesome Tornillo. And yeah, Latigo continues to impress. Just super impressed by him. Torito Negro looks good, but Torito Negro, you can see, still needs a good base in there to look good for, you know, he's not quite at the level the other guys are yet.
Yeah.
But he's improving. He's going to be good. He's still super young. And this was the first of many matches to get money. The second match was another one. Well-deserved because they fucking killed each other. It was The Crash versus Passione Lucha.
Lucha Libre y Passion.
Lucha Libre Passion, because they were the ones promoting the show.
Yeah.
They are the group that, if you remember, brought in Jeff Cobb, and he worked the trios with Demus and Phoenix at Lopez Mateos. This was...
And I think we heard they're running again in January.
No, that's
not Mexa Wrestling. That's a different promotion.
Mexa Wrestling is supposed to run January 1st at San Juan Patitlan again. And Elite is supposed to be coming back.
I still don't believe this.
To run Arena Naucalpan on December 9th.
I'm not believing this until we get the poster.
Well, we'll see. So this was the 4-on-4. It was the representing the Crash was Arcángel Divino, Ultimo Maldito, Peligro Negro, or Black Danger, however you want to call him, and Black Boy, or Black Diamond, however you want
so
to call him.
So it's all the guys in the junior division from Tijuana.
Mm-hmm. And they were taking on the Passion team, which was Toxin of the Criminals.
And the Vendetta. He's the Criminal Boys are rad.
Well, but they would know him as from... I didn't even know Vendetta. So it was Toxin, it was Fly Warrior, it
keep
was
up on your indies.
Aramis, and Dynamic Black.
Yeah.
Who everybody knows long time from IWRG.
Who was wearing a shirt inside out.
Was he?
Yes.
I did not notice that.
Yeah.
This was just... I'll get my one complaint out of the way for this match. They did three Canadian Destroyers within like the first couple minutes. Too much.
Yeah.
Get rid of that shit. There's a million moves to use. Cut it out. Oh, that's what I forgot to mention from the first match. One of the moves of the night, they did the DDTJ or Pizza DDT setup, whichever you prefer. Yeah. And as he came down, he caught him right into a Canadian Destroyer. Fucking awesome move. I do not have a video of it. I'm so sorry. I wasn't expecting it. But that was the Canadian Destroyer of the night that I prefer and I approve of. But back to this match. They did a ton of crazy shit. They were like dual dives into the crowd at the same time by Dynamic Black and Aramis, which just had the crowd going fucking crazy and huge spots. Watching that shit live, those guys are insane. Batshit insane. Everybody basically got to do all their shit, all their moves. You name the move you wanted to see, you saw it. At one point, late in the match, they had everybody on the floor, and Toxin did a Spanish fly with Ultimo Maldito onto everybody right in front of us. Fucking crazy. 30 seconds later, Arcángel Divino gave Fly Warrior a Super Frankensteiner off the top to the floor, and Fly Warrior didn't take the bump like normally you come straight down. He just went flying forward. I don't even know if he landed on anybody. And just when you think, oh, the madness is done, they did the Doomsday Device Tope Suicida spot, which the crowd, like, lost. you gotta hear the audio. They just lost their shit for that spot.
This crowd, I mean, this match had some flaws where I think it's Fly Warrior and Archangel Divino had a bad slip at one point when it was setting.
Oh, yeah. No, it was Dynamic Black because he went for the handspring head scissors, and then Arcángel couldn't base him, and they both fell down.
No, not even that point. Later on, when Archangel was just running,
he slipped. Right. Yeah.
So it was there were really wild spots, and there were spots that there were stuff that they probably wished they could clean up.
And the finish, too, because he did two moves that weren't really done clean, so the crowd didn't... The crowd was on such a high from that Doomsday Tope Suicida spot. And it kind of went down because he didn't hit his last two moves clean. But overall, I mean, the crowd wanted to see crazy shit. I wanted to see crazy shit. We got crazy shit. Yeah. They made a ton of money on the match. I saw the post-match picture. Multiple bills of 50s and 20s.
Yeah.
This is why we attend the Crash. I mean, to see matches like these, guys like these, because AAA doesn't have the talent to do a match like this, and CML doesn't allow their talent, the limited talent they have, to do this type of match. So it's good that a promotion like The Crash exists. Before this, we were relying on Elite for this type of match.
Yeah, and hopefully this gives some of those the guys on the Lucha Libre Crash team a chance to get back in more Crash shows whenever they come back close away.
Yeah, I thought out of the four guys, definitely Aramis deserves another look. And Fly Warrior, of course, everybody knows he's good.
Yeah. The third match was a mixed tag of strangeness. It was Chrissy James, it was Demas, and it was
Tiago. Who got moved from the opener here to replace Laredo Kid.
Yeah. Versus Mascara Dorada, Lacey Lane, and Kira.
Yep.
Everyone says more like Kita, though, I know this.
I go with Kira.
I that's why I think it's supposed to, but you know, I don't know how to pronounce any name, so I'm probably wrong.
This was the situation where, like, there are three women on the Crash roster, and if you're not going to do a triangle match, you got to figure out how to get them all involved. So it was smart matchmaking to switch it up, I thought, because the they wouldn't fit anywhere else. Like, yeah. At one point, I had this super weird idea. I don't know if you heard me, but I suggested to Noriko, what if they're doing Daga versus Kira?
That would get over.
That would get over, but that would be very weird. I don't know. I don't know how I would have enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Originally, Ultimo Ninja was also supposed to be in this match, but they took him out because he had to work the next match because Keith Lee wasn't there, so he took his spot versus Daga. Yeah. This match, I mean, Cubs will probably tell you more about it. I got distracted because I was playing with my phone, which for some reason decided to freeze on me and wouldn't record any more video. Yeah. But from what I saw, I thought Demus was super entertaining as usual with Mascarita. Yeah. And I thought Christy got a huge pop for her entrance. It was her first time, I think, working this comedy stuff with the minis, so a little awkward at first, but they got into it as it kept going, and I know Demis tried to kiss the girls a couple times.
The first 3-4 minutes of the match was Mascara Dorada trying to kiss Christy.
Okay, so yeah, I didn't notice that.
And then the next 3 or 4 minutes was Demas trying to kiss Kira and Lacey Lane, and also Christy at some point, I think, too, in there. So it was just, it kind of derailed into comedy before it actually was on any sort of rails at all. The action was fine. They did a lot of dives. They did a bunch of dives at the end, but it was really something where I was just kind of like, I was out of it before it really had a chance to develop.
And like I said, I only saw the near the end of the match. Christy did her moonsault to the floor, which got over huge, and TJ got over just as much tonight. Lacey actually did a really cool assisted dive.
Yeah, I thought she was going to do the rope flip, the arm drag we've seen on mm-hmm. the other shows, but it turned into a dive instead.
Yeah, she's actually really impressed me a lot on this. And, you know, I'm not a big women's wrestling guy, but yeah, she fit in well.
I don't remember if we talked about this podcast or not, but I think she did better than than Quetzal would have done in that spot. So
it worked out for the best, bringing her over. And I'm sure she'll be invited back in the future.
Yeah.
And Mascarita ended up pinning Demus with his spinny thing into a small package.
Right.
Crowd threw money for this one, too.
Yeah. Well, no. Actually, what happened is that Demus went around ringside, found the money that had been thrown in. There was a little money thrown in, but there was a lot of stuff that where he just kind of looked up the apron and looked to see if any coins had fallen there and threw it in himself, which is, that's some good work.
And afterwards, he was funny going to the commissioner saying that his shoulder was hurt and he wanted the doctor. And the doctor wasn't taking him seriously.
Yeah.
And then finally he decided the best cure for a hurt shoulder is beer. So he grabbed beer from our friend Alan.
It's already 1:49, so we gotta pick it up.
We're doing good. No, we're doing good. Then next was the singles match, Daga versus
Ultimo Ninja. We can run through this. I think Tech is a match that seemed good if you turn the sound off, but the problem is that no one was cared all that much about it, and the crowd kind of somewhat turned on it. There was not the whole crowd turned on, but there were some people loudly whistling when they still had like 3-4 minutes left. I think the problem with Daga and Ultimate Ninja is the same thing, is that unless they're playing heavy Rudo, they don't really come across that strong. They're trying to do some sort of Japanese serious style match and just does not connect, and it wasn't sharp enough to really make people care about it doing it that style. So I was fine with it, but I think most people I talked to did not seem to like it even as much as I did, and I was not a big fan of it. So maybe some point, I think we were all disappointed when we get the Keith Lee match, because that would have been at least, you would have had at least some sort of setup. You have some sort of big difference. Ultimo Ninja is bigger than Daga, but Keith Lee is a lot bigger, and this was just two guys doing moves at some points.
It was funny because Ultimo Ninja came out to Keith Lee's music.
Yeah.
Keith Lee's music hit, and I'm like, oh, he showed up for the tour. But then Ultimo Ninja walked out. I thought this match was... Oh, sorry, did you want to say something?
No, you're good.
I thought this match was okay. I mean, nothing wrong with it. Daga was working hurt, and he's got his shoulders still jacked up. They did a very technically solid match. I always feel bad for people in this position, though, because the Crash undercard is filled with so much action and crazy spots that at some point, I mean, even on the TJ shows, you're going to get to a match where people try to slow it down, and you can't. I mean, the crowd's just not gonna have any of it. Like, these guys were trying to work a slower style to go a little longer, and the crowd just wasn't caring. And honestly, as a booker, I wouldn't know how to fix that. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could take an intermission and come back and do something like this, but you don't want to do an intermission on a show like this. I'm not suggesting doing an intermission. It's just a bad spot for them. I think the finish got screwed up. I think Daga was going for something about with the Reynera.
Yeah.
But he couldn't quite get it, so he just powerbombed Ultimo Ninja really hard. And that was it. I mean, I don't think there was money thrown for this one. I think just the crowd politely clapped.
Yeah.
And it was our fourth match seeing Ninja. He did all good in the match. All the matches we saw, he was fine. He had the best match in Querétaro, right? Yeah. The tag match. And best match at Riot against Ray Horace.
Yeah.
So, and he's tall, so I'm sure you'll see him in Florida someday if they ever take notice. And after this, we had a very weird and annoying segment that went nowhere where, I mean, I understand because they're sponsors, the television guys came out.
Yeah, let's just blow through this. Television came out.
With Setsuko.
Setsuko.
The girls took off their clothes to reveal more clothes. What's the point?
Because the same thing, why they had the Art of Settings, that they had the 11th anniversary, so they were promoting some shirts. The guys liked it because there was women taking off shirts, but then they had other shirts underneath, and people got free shirts, so they liked the idea of getting free shirts. But mostly this was a waste. This was an intermission that wasn't really scheduled.
Yeah, I mean, if they were going to do something, and the girls were, okay. They couldn't really dance, so I don't understand where they found these girls to why they were even there, but whatever.
They were available. So the next match was... This one was the one that actually had Pirata Morgan in it, versus Black Taurus
and Bestia.
And Bestia versus
Jack,
Maximo, and Carlito. It was kind of on the same lines of other stuff we've seen with Jack and Bestia, where they feuded a lot. The other guys had lesser roles. Jack and Bestia eventually got to the finish again, got 1-1 at the end, and this time Jack got the win. Like, I think we kind of had something close to this in Katuro, except Maximo and Carlito were in the main event instead, and he had different partners.
And Jack got hurt, so he couldn't do much.
He seemed fine in this match, the whatever leg injury was thankfully just momentarily, and it was an okay match. A crowd likes Maximo. Crowd was more into Carlito here than on other shows, but Carlito does not do a lot on these matches. He gets by with what he does, but... You can tell that he's pretty much only going to do the backbreaker and tease the dive and never actually do the dive. So, it was a match.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It was pretty fun. Jack did a lot more. Jack was doing flips all over the place. He did a cool spot in the corner. I thought Taurus was great in this match. He was really fun slapping Jack's bald head. The crowd was chanting funny things at Jack. They called him at one point. They said he looked like, what do you call it? The Make-A-Wish kid? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Oh, a kid with cancer. I know that's not funny. It was funny the way they were heckling him. Not that having cancer is funny, obviously. And Bestia was really good. Pirata is technically good, but he has the same problem as like the guys in the previous match. He has no connection with the crowd at all. They did a dive sequence at the end where Pirata actually did a really cool dive. And then the finish where Jack used the backslide to pin Bestia. Post-match, they played the Eminem song that Jack comes out to, Lose Yourself, and... Taurus tried to dance and spun him around.
First, Maximo danced.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he tried to do his imitation of Jack's dance. But Jack danced first, then Maximo. They tried to get Carlito. Carlito wouldn't dance. So Taurus tried to do the imitation of Jack's dance. But he couldn't spin all the way around, so Pirata had to help him. And then they finally got Carlito to do a minimal amount of work, which was about... She tried doing the splits, and then he hurt himself.
A funny way, not in a legit way.
And Jack and Maxwell had to help him out. Yeah. And Bestia smartly stayed far away from all of this.
It was an entertaining post-match thing.
Yeah.
And then they were speeding things up because they got the semi-main announcements going on right away as the guys were at ringside still, because at this point, fans were just running up to them for pictures and autographs. So the semi-main was Willie Mack and Phoenix against Mecha Wolf 450.
Yeah.
And Flamita.
Yeah, and I thought this was the best match of the night.
Agree.
I'm losing my train of thought already. It's like some of the other matches, it's kind of started out this kind of a little bit of comedy. They did the Willie Mack dance thing, and
they missed the music cue when they tried to do the dancing. He kept asking for music, and there was no music.
Yeah. But eventually, 450 attacked him, and it got more serious from there.
Phoenix Flamita had a red hot exchange right away to start the match, which was amazing.
I think this was the most. I think there was a lot of Willie Mack in this match, but I think this is the most we've seen Ray Phoenix in the match of the three matches we've seen.
Yeah, he really brought it. Maybe because today seemed to be family day. Jack's family was there. Phoenix's family was there.
Yeah, it's family day because it's close enough to the family. I was surprised that Flamita won, just because Flamita doesn't seem to beat Phoenix all that much, but he got the win with the twisting 450.
I guess they're setting, because they got a title match coming up on Wednesday again.
They do? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the Wednesday's, the San Luis Potosí, they're doing the rematch for the title. Yeah. This match was crazy, a lot of cool shit. Mecha Wolf and Mr. and Willie Mack are feuding. They did a bunch of interaction where they went at it pretty heavily. Like, you could see a hair match coming out of it. Phoenix Flamita, those guys were the stars. Just crazy stuff. They did everything you'd expect. Mm-hmm. Phoenix did it like a double stomp on the apron. They did double dives at the same time against their other opponents. Mm-hmm. Mecha Wolf did a cool tope at one point. Willie Mack did a somersault. He did the exploder suplex on Mecha Wolf on the apron right in front of us, which looked like a nasty bump to take. And they did a lot of near falls at the end with Phoenix Flamita that everybody was biting on.
Yeah, I mean, Flamita did the flame fly for a near fall. Phoenix did the top rope Spanish fly for a near fall. I think both of those people thought that was actually the finish, and they just kept on going.
And eventually Flamita took it home with his corkscrew 450 thing.
Yeah.
Stardust Press, I believe. Or Phoenix Splash.
Yeah. And
lots of money thrown.
And Flamita and Jack and Willie celebrated to kind of congratulate each other, and 450 walked out on them because he's an evil guy.
And he's feuding with Willie, so he was unhappy about losing. Yeah. But he did say, well, they put each other over on the mic afterwards, Phoenix and Flamita. Yeah. Crowd was really into Willie Mack. I should note that like, he is super over no matter where he goes. Such a charismatic guy.
Yeah.
Main event time was a three-way with La Máscara versus Garza Jr. versus Penta Zero Romero.
We have not spent time watching the Impact pay-per-view or the TVs afterwards, but it's obvious that everyone said Garza looked messed up there, and he's not really any better 6 days later.
Nope.
He had a big shoulder brace on and was pretty much wrestling one arm for the most of the match, which made it work for a three-way match, because it usually was La Máscara doing a lot of the work and Garza being really annoying, so they kind of divided up well. Penta eventually made a comeback by doing a dive on both of them. The ends was people following each other and Garza faking a foul, thinking he got away with it, and then Pentagon actually following him and pinning him for the win. And like in every other crash show we've seen, it ends with Pentagon challenging somebody for a Lucha Extrema next time they come to that place, which I don't know those are actually going to happen, but that's his plan.
Yeah, Garza Jr., just incredible heat. What a rudo. Crowd fucking despises this guy. The promo before the match was just amazing. He basically told all the fans to fuck off except for the fans who were in the front row, because they have the money to buy front row tickets, and you know how mad that made the majority of the people sitting in the cheap seats. We were front row, so we're cool with Garza. Pentagon also had a good pre-match promo, and as he was doing his Porque Yo Soy Penta El Zero Miedo, he got super kicked. That's when the beatdown started. He made his own comeback, like Cub said. During his comeback, Máscara got busted open legit, whereas Garza Jr.
Because Máscara, the first thing he did was check his blood and wipe it off his head.
Right.
Which you wouldn't be doing it that you meant to be doing that.
Garza Jr. bladed big time to cover up for the fact he wasn't doing much else. He was just dripping blood and leaving puddles wherever he was. He largely stayed out of the way, like, because of his physical, you know, couldn't get involved. They used a chair at one point. Oh, that's how he got busted open. Pentagon grabbed a broken bottle and stabbed him with it.
Yeah.
That's how he got busted open. The finish was Pentagon going for the package pile driver. Then La Máscara countered and threw Pentagon into the ref. Máscara low blowed Pentagon. Garza Jr. low blowed Máscara. Then Garza Jr. faked the low blow. The referee got up, went to each guy to raise their hand so that by the crowd approval would know who won or not. As he was making his decision, Garza Jr. got up behind him and was like making fun of the referee for being an idiot, for buying that he faked the low blow. And when he did that, Pentagon kicked him low, rolled him up, and beat him 1-2-3. I thought that was a genius finish. I know that some people are sick of finishes like that, but it worked perfect tonight, and it was the crowd. I mean, the crowd reaction tells it all. They were so happy, they loved it. And afterwards, Muascara took off really quickly, and Garza Jr. did the back and forth promos, and then everybody hit the ring to take a picture with Pentagon. Dude is a fucking rock star.
And there was no security surrounding it, so once like two people did, everyone on the floor rushed to do that.
I felt bad for him in the sense that like nobody was helping him. What if he actually did want to leave and get out of there?
But yeah, he kind of had to fight his way through because he ended up taking every selfie that everyone wanted. But
that would have taken all night.
Yeah.
Afterwards, we just hung out for a bit. We said thank you to Conan, Ruben from Master Public, Nacho running the crash, just for having us at their shows, putting on such good events. Mm. All three shows I thought were killer. The worst one was the Metapec show. Haha, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, just great crash shows. I was very impressed with this tour. It's too bad we couldn't squeeze one more show in.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of done with shows. And we have two more to go, so...
Got two more to go. Come on, Cubs. Get it together.
What I like to get together is like a 12-hour nap. And I don't think I'm getting that together. So that's all we have for this one. And it's already 2:02, so we went over my time limit.
And we will not be doing a podcast tomorrow, but we might do one to cover whatever we do tomorrow on one of the long-distance Como Estas that we do.
Sometime in the far, far future.
Great trip. I had a blast.
Yeah. It was okay. I'm never coming back. Bye, everybody.